during the uprising in the Tahrir Square last year that ultimately brought down Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, an anchor for Egypt's state-owned Nile TV walked off the set in protest. Her name is Shahira Amin, and here she is speaking with Al Jazeera TV after quitting her job.
I'm just going to hold for a moment because I've been told on the line is Shahira Amin. Shahira, talk to me. What have you done?
I'm here in Tahrir Square, and I'm determined to be on the side of the people, not the regime. I can't be part of the propaganda machine. I'm not going to feed the public lies.
Shahira Amin was recently in Boston, and she came to our studios to talk about the discrimination that women still face in Egypt, the upcoming presidential elections, and the reason why she ditched her high-profile job at the height of the Arab Spring.
The reason I walked out was I was given press releases to read, handed to me by my boss. She had gotten them from the Interior Ministry, that said stuff like, there are no clashes, but five people died today. So how did they die, you know? And they blamed the Muslim Brotherhood for fomenting the unrest. And I knew this wasn't true. I had been to Tahrir and seen that this was an all-inclusive people's movement. Everyone was out there demanding change. Muslims, Christians, poor, rich, the educated, the uneducated. And then the Battle of the Camels happened on the 2nd of February. Men on horseback and camelback stormed into Tahrir Square and attacked the peaceful activists with whips and batons, and like a scene from medieval times. And I watched it with horror on Al Arabiya, one of the satellite channels. And then when I was given the news, there was absolutely no mention of what had happened. And I asked the editor-in-chief, you know, I said, we should be telling the world what is happening. And she said, we are given clear instructions not to mention it, don't you dare. And that's when I decided I'm not doing this. I didn't want to be implicated in the crimes of the regime, because state television is a propaganda tool for that regime.
You have a daughter who was part of the protests, is that correct?
Yes, my daughter is a freelance photographer, and she was out there taking pictures, and that's when I decided to go with her and protect her. And I saw that what was being broadcast on state TV was very different from what was really happening.
You have said that in some ways what happened in Tahrir Square was a turning point for women in Egypt. In what way?
The fact that they were out there with the men, you know, they had been given a voice at last. We hadn't heard women's voices in a long time. But they were there not just in support roles, not just conducting the security checks and distributing food and treating the injured. They were there leading at times the protests and having the men chant behind them. So this was a turning point.
Shahira, what did it feel like for you as a female anchor reporter watching that in Tahrir Square?
Amazing. The reason I quit was that I had felt my hands were tied and I wasn't able to tell the story. But then I stayed in Tahrir from the 2nd of February until the 11th, when Mubarak was forced out. It was an amazing time because I was there as an Egyptian national wanting change, but also as a journalist being able to report.
You eventually went back to state TV, where you have a show now. And you have said that you have felt that if you mentioned the army, that that story may not be aired. Do you feel like you're still under the same restrictions that you were before?
State TV hasn't changed much. It's still under the control of the military regime. The journalists there are still practicing self-censorship. And
self-censorship?
Absolutely. Because it's a very repressive atmosphere. You know, they have replaced Mubarak with the military authority as the new red line that they cannot cross. And we have a new minister of information who's a military general. And of course, he's there just to continue to control the media. The military has been intimidating journalists. Several have been called in for investigation by the military prosecutor. Bloggers have been put behind bars simply for expressing their views on Facebook. So the atmosphere is still very repressive. But the good news is that there has been a revolution in the media, in the independent media, because a number of new independent or private channels have been launched, new publications, and there is freedom there that isn't there at state television.
If that's the case, why do you choose to stay at state television rather than go to that new emerging independent media where you might have total freedom?
The reason I went back is to push for reforms at state media, because you can only do that as an insider by pushing the freedom boundaries. And many of my fellow colleagues at work staged a sit-in last month demanding an end to censorship and, you know, asking the military to lift their hands off the media. So things are happening, and we just have to remain resilient and keep pushing for change. And I find that that's what the activists are doing, and there's no going back. You know, the momentum has started, it's irreversible, and we shall continue.
You've also made some very interesting comments about how, although many people in Egypt seem newly empowered to be political and to speak out, you're not sure how much impact that has because they are individuals rather than a group. What are some of the mistakes you would say have been made?
The fact that the liberals of Egypt, for instance, are so fragmented and divided, they could have countered the Islamic tide had they been a united, strong force.
And of course, Islamist parties dominate the parliament now. So is that a setback?
Not really, because this is the first freely elected parliament, although the elections weren't 100% free and fair. But, you know, these are our first relatively free elections. And so this is the choice of the people. And if we are to be a democratic state, then we have to respect the choice of the majority. So they're there because people voted for them. And I find that the Muslim Brotherhood are moderate. You know, they are reforming. They are changing. And alienating them would only radicalize them more. The fact that they're now out in the light, I have hope that they will become less rigid and more moderate.
Because, as you know, there have been fears that if it is a heavily Islamist parliament, it will push Egypt to become more conservative. But you actually think this might be a moderately...
I think it will have a diluting effect on them, yes. The fact that they are no longer marginalized and persecuted.
In terms of women in parliament, initially there had been a mandated number, but then that shifted. And I think at some point each slate only had to have one woman. So the parliament is not as female now as I think some people had hoped it would be. How do you feel about that?
That is a huge disappointment, because the quota that had reserved 64 seats for women in parliament has been scrapped. And now we find only 9 women in parliament out of 508 seats. And of course, that is a terrible setback for women, the fact that they're not represented in parliament. But the good news, Sasha, is that the level of activism among women is unprecedented. You know, they feel that they now have a stake in their country, and they want to be part of the political process too.
That's Shahira Amin. She made international news when she quit her job as an anchor for Egypt State TV during the Tahrir Square uprising last year. We spoke with her during her recent visit to Boston, and she told us that although women's roles are changing in Egypt, there's still widespread discrimination. She also says she's even been harassed on the street for not wearing a hijab, the traditional head covering of Muslim women.
I never wear a hijab simply because I don't believe I should wear a hijab. And I'm not the only one getting harassed because I'm without a hijab. There are lots of others who are totally covered up and who still get harassed on the streets. Unfortunately, this is part of the culture, and it's something that has to change. Sexual harassment on the streets of Cairo, groping and verbal abuse is something that has actually increased since the revolution. And I think it's because of the growing public anger over the unmet expectations. So there is a lot of frustration. Men are venting their anger on the women. And also they see women as competitors for jobs. When they see women on public transport going to work, they get angry because they themselves can't find jobs. So they see these women as competing for jobs, for the limited jobs that there are.
At one point, you had a fairly lengthy one-on-one interview with Mubarak himself, and you said you walked out of the interview feeling sorry for him, that he was this outcast who really was out of touch. What was it that you felt he didn't understand about the world around him that left you feeling that way?
He was totally out of touch with the people. He had no idea. He really believed himself to be the wise man of the Middle East and that every Arab leader who should follow his advice. And he just didn't know about the people's grievances and their anger. 40% of Egyptians live under the $2 a day poverty line. There's 40% illiteracy rate in Egypt. Egypt is a rich country. We have tourism, the Suez Canal revenues. And when you find that half the population is living under such miserable conditions, you know, and him not being aware of all of this, thinking that he's doing his best. The economy was doing well, but the wealth wasn't trickling down to the masses.
Shahira Amin, I want to turn back to the elections. There are thousands of people who hope to try to run. Are these viable candidacies?
Not really. We have over 1,000, as you mentioned earlier, running for the presidency, and some of them are drug dealers, taxi drivers, housemaids. So I think in the end it'll be around 30. And the very serious ones are, I know that the military has fielded some of its own candidates, so they seem adamant to want to maintain power in Egypt. But I know that the Egyptians see that they've made such a mess of the transitional phase, and we want them back to the barracks. And that's where we'll try to push them. We, when I say we, I'm talking about the revolutionary movements. But then there are also there's the Muslim Brotherhood candidate, who appears to be the most popular at the moment, Abul Futuh. And the Salafis, the ultra-conservatives, have also fielded a candidate. So it's a mixture, and the Egyptian people will have the final word, I think.
On the issue of the army, which, as you've said, people would like to push back, does the army have any interest or show any inclination to be willing to be pushed back?
They keep saying that they can't wait to go back to the barracks, but this doesn't appear to be the case.
They can't wait to step out of politics and hand it off to someone else. But you're skeptical that that's truly how they feel.
Because they've seen Mubarak on the stretcher in the courtroom, and they know that they will likely follow because it's the same corrupt regime. And so I think they want to be guaranteed a safe exit. They also want to shield their budget from public scrutiny. As you know, they own 40% of the Egyptian economy, maybe more. And this is what they have at stake.
So how does even a powerful people's movement bring down an army?
I think that I totally believe in people power. It works. We've seen the case of the virginity tests when one of the female protesters who had had a virginity check performed on her by the military filed a lawsuit against the military and won the case because she had a ruling at the end saying that this would never happen again in Egyptian military prisons.
This is a story you broke, Shahira, about, I believe, female protesters at Tahrir basically being forced to go through tests to prove that they are virgins.
Exactly. This was on the 9th of March. They were arrested and detained and had these tests performed publicly in front of the soldiers to break and humiliate them. This is the admission I got from a senior military general. When I asked about the tests, he said, "This isn't your daughter or mine. These were girls who had camped out in Tahrir, as if they had gotten what they deserved." So this very brave girl decided to speak out and file the lawsuit. She's very brave, Samira Ibrahim. And in December, we had the ruling saying that this would never happen again.
Quite recently, one of the doctors accused in that case was acquitted. Was that a disappointment for you?
That was a huge disappointment. But outside the courtroom, there was overwhelming support for Samira. And there were hundreds of activists out there chanting, "Samira, raise your head. You are more honorable than those who did this to you." So she does have support.
Would you say that there is any noticeable difference now simply walking around Cairo now than there was before Tahrir Square and before Mubarak was out?
There is still a mood of depression because people expected change to happen quickly. We forced Mubarak out in 18 days, so they expected rapid, radical changes, which haven't happened. So people feel let down, disappointed, but at least the hope is there. whereas there was despair before. There was frustration, there was a total sense that nothing will ever change, total apathy, but now there is the hope, and that is what keeps us going.
That's Shahira Amin of Egyptian State TV. She talked with us when she was recently in Boston to speak at Harvard.